I've got big, huge, massive news. Okay, so did you miss out on registering for our spring summer program? It's not too late. We are opening up 1,000 spots starting today. Maybe you got into the program and you're realizing this is amazing. Everybody should be doing this. Or I know so many people who would love this. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell everyone you know. And if it's you, you're the one who didn't get signed up, run, don't walk over to our website, GWB.com. The first 1,000 people to sign up are in. Otherwise, you have to wait until our next program that doesn't start until the fall. Go. What are you waiting for?
Hello, welcome. So here we are on Wednesday in the Maintenance and Mindfulness group talking all things maintenance. And I am super excited for today's segment. So we're going to get right into it. So today, of course, we have Kim, our weight loss group manager. Hello, Kim.
Hello, everyone.
And of course, we have today Dr. Ruth Kane from the University of Ottawa.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Dr. Ruth, we are so happy to have you here. I know we're happy and excited to have you here. Our members are equally, if not more, excited to have you here. So I just want to, like I said, get right into it. Earlier this year, we had a survey for our members and maintenance to complete. From that, you followed up and did some focus groups, which was also an exciting time for our members. People were signing up like crazy. I know a few of the sessions sold out really quick. So I want to get into it. But first, I do see that Gina is here. So we are going to pop her in. So we'll just get her up and going. Here we go.
I'm here.
Hello, Gina.
Hey. Oh, I'm here. Zen. Yeah. Hi, Ruth. Hello. Hi, Odette. Hi, Kim.
Hi.
Hi.
So we were just saying hello to Ruth, introducing her, talking about earlier this year, we had the survey for our members and maintenance, how excited everybody was for that. And then she came in with these focus groups and our members were, you know, over the moon, ready to get in, selling out like crazy. So we just want to get right into it and get right into getting Ruth talking about it and filling us in getting our members.
Well, I get to talk to Ruth all the time. So you go for it, Odette. I will let you take the floor with this one.
Yeah. Awesome. So Ruth, let's get right into it. So survey, it came out and let us know how that went.
So we began the research a couple of years in the weight loss group. And as Gina has said and on her sessions often, that we presented at the Obesity Summit and they were impressed. They said, because we showed that the weight loss program worked, it worked for sort of answering the surveys, it worked for 90-something% of members. They lost weight and they lost clinically significant weight, most of them. However, the research community said, yay, that's really great. Come back in 2 years when you can demonstrate that they've kept the weight off. And in a way, that's fair because people do lose weight on diets. They do on many, many different diets. They often lose weight far too quickly. And so what we switched last year to focus more on the maintenance to find out, well, how is maintenance working for members? What is their experience of maintenance? Are they going on happily to maintain their weight loss at a weight, at a fluctuation that they choose? Not that somebody tells them, but that they choose. And we actually asked them that in the survey. And overwhelmingly, the people who'd lost a lot of weight, as in pounds, like a lot of pounds, like up to 60, 70 pounds, they had taken much longer to lose it, which makes sense. And they also identified a fluctuation range that they were comfortable with of up to, typically most people said 1 to 5 pounds. But those people who had lost less weight, who had less weight to lose and had gone into maintenance after losing, say, 10 pounds or 15 pounds, they were more comfortable with a narrow margin, which is probably a bit more stressful on their day-to-day life. Like some of them, once I got to talk to them, were more into, if it goes up a pound or 2 pounds, I worry, even though they know that our weight fluctuates. But people who'd lost a lot of weight over a longer time were more comfortable with a weight range up to 10 pounds, but usually 1 to 5 pounds. And that's what they identified as being comfortable to them. Now, the survey did show a mixed sort of experience of how people had maintained their weight or not, had maintained in that self-identified barrier band. But what it did point to is that people who had entered maintenance way back when, like beyond a year ago, were able to maintain their weight. Those were the ones that I was particularly interested in speaking to in the focus group. However, you know what happens. We launch the focus groups and people sign up for them really quickly. And most of the members who answered the survey and participated in the focus group had really only identified themselves as being in maintenance in the last 6 months to a year. So that's pretty new, and we'll be sending them. We've got their emails. We've got 300 people who we can follow, and we will pick up others along the way so we can follow them over another 6 months and another 6 months. So really the rich of the data, the survey gives us some data, but the richness is really in the focus groups, because my goal was to talk to members who had been in maintenance, who had self-identified as being in maintenance. I would love them to have been in maintenance for a year or longer, but that was the minority, but some of them participated, and to understand in conversation, what is it you're doing? Because some people are struggling to maintain their weight loss. So what is your story? What is the story of the ones who are struggling? And, you know, every focus group had a mix, and every focus group had some real lessons to be learned. And it was very interesting, the patterns that started to emerge from the focus groups, because that tells us how people are navigating real life after weight loss, and what are they drawing on. And, yeah, there's some really good patterns coming out.
And I think that, you know, one of the most important parts is seeing those patterns and having our members be aware of those patterns and picking up on it. And I was listening to an older talk we did with Dr. Paul a while ago. It's always a good idea to go back and re-listen to those. And I was listening to one that he said, and he said, you know, for those people that have been successful in maintenance, or, you know, are and know that they don't want to go back to where they started, really taking a look back at what past triggers had been, or what past things have happened that got them to a place where they felt like they had to lose weight again, or they had been unsuccessful. So being able to recognize those patterns, you know, as time goes on, you know, where every opportunity, we say this, is a learning opportunity. And did you find that in the groups? Did you find that people were saying like, oh, I noticed this was my trigger, or this is my pattern?
Yeah, some of the patterns that are the real challenges for people is people are falling back into eating at nighttime. If there's one bad habit that people say, oh, you know, I've started having a bowl of chips at night with my husband as we watch TV, or I've started doing this and I've started doing that. And when that came up in conversation, I did speak to members about, like, Gina, when you discuss in the weight loss group why it's not a good idea to lose weight, you talk about, well, you don't need the energy. Like, you don't. You're going to bed shortly. You're not hungry. It's a habit. But the latest research is actually showing that it's detrimental to have food in your system when you go to bed. You really, really need your gut to have time for the different microbes to do, I know this is very simplistic, but to do their job. And they can't do that with food in your digestive, especially food in your lower colon. So it just helps all your body do what it's meant to do. And some people, when I told them that and sort of directed them to links for that, they said, oh, okay. So scientifically, it's not good for me. That's going to help me sort of get into better habits. And they shared habits and strategies of dealing with it.
So that's really interesting because, yeah, like, can you eat chips and drink wine at night? Sure you can. But like you said, it's more than just falling in that bad habit. It's then the snowball effect of doing that. And then one night turns into two, turns into, you know, then all of a sudden you're trying to not eat one day to make up for the chips you had the day. You're falling back into those old diet habits. And then, yes, then it's affecting your sleep, and affecting your sleep is affecting your hormones. And so can you have chips at night? Yeah, of course you can. Every now and then. And then that's why back on track is so important, right? Yeah. That's not like, that's even after you've, you know, I've lost my weight 30 something years ago. If I still indulge, I'm mindful the next day to help my, get my body recovering from that indulgence. I do want to say, well, first of all, Ruth, I had an idea, and maybe what we can do is go back into our old email list. I think what's happened is a lot of people who've done previous programs are off living their lives and maybe not checking into the maintenance group, people who've been maintaining for a year, 2 years. So we can go back into those old emails and like send them out to everyone who's ever done the program, because we had people doing the program who've been maintaining their weight like far before we started this maintenance group. So we can do that. I also want to say that I have conversations with Ruth all the time, and she's very honest in sharing her information with me. And we're always factoring that in to, okay, so members are struggling with this. What can we do to help better support them, better advise them? And so Ruth works independently, although, yeah, she received funding to study the Living Method. We don't pay Ruth. We tried to pay her and bribe her, and she won't take our money. So
you better retire next year. I might need money.
So as much as we tried to bribe her, she won't take our money. So she really is giving us her honest assessment. And so I'm like, give it to me, the good, the bad, the ugly, because we take her information. We're like, okay, in knowing this, how can we better help our members? Because let's face it, although I've been helping people lose weight for 36 years, maintenance is really something that I've just been focusing on for the last couple of years. So there's a lot to be learned here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And members are very grateful for the maintenance group because they like the structure of the weight loss program, but they like the safety net of the community if they need it and when they need it. And they just find it a very safe, friendly, supportive community. And where do you get that sometimes in day-to-day life in the society we live in? So, but there are things that are triggering. Like there are things, how do I put this? One of the things, Gina, you often say in the, go on and live your life. Like you don't want to meet people in 10 years' time who excitedly say to you, I'm still doing your program. And you go, what? You know, get out of here. Go and live your life. However, and this is sort of a nuanced sort of thing, the people who are doing super well at maintaining their weight loss, who have not a care in the world about food and their relationship with food and will go on a holiday and eat all the things and everything, are people who in their brains have adopted the fundamental values or principles of the program. And by that, I mean they eat protein for breakfast. At mid-morning, they might have a fruit snack. Might not, but might. They eat lunch. And they eat veggies and protein. They eat a snack in the afternoon if they're hungry. They eat nuts and they eat dinner. So they're following the basic principles.
Yeah.
But choosing what to eat. And some of them have not brought back in pasta and bread as an everyday occurrence because, and this is the key, when they do, they don't feel good. And yeah. The people who are maintaining their weight without a care in the world are people who have totally changed the way they eat. So they're eating almost according to those four, five principles, the daily sort of plan. They're drinking water. They're trying to manage their sleep. And they're eating regularly. And one of the women sort of had an aha moment recently because she couldn't understand why her weight was creeping up a little bit. And she realized without even thinking, she had been getting stressed, sitting at her desk and going back into what you call old diet habits and not eating for 5 or 6 hours. Mm-hmm. So it's that eating regularly. And so in that way, they're sort of following the plan. And that's okay because it makes them feel good.
Yeah. Sorry, I just want to add here. So we talk about, we had this conversation, but in a different way, where members are no longer chasing the scale. And they're like, but I don't, it's great I'm maintaining, but I'm not feeling as good as I felt. And they're realizing there's a benefit to managing their stress and their sleep. I think, Ruth, what we need to do is tweak the messaging here. Yeah. And when I say go off and live your life finally and forever, it is bringing forth the principles and sort of it's beyond continuing to be mindful, continuing to understand what works well. That protein for breakfast is always going to be a benefit because it's beneficial to the body, not just in weight loss, but for your hormones and for your metabolism. And not going longer, you know, than 3.5 or 4 hours is still basic principles. Yeah. So I think, and this is why I love having conversations with you. I think this is where we could tweak the messaging. It's not just look weight good, look good, feel good. It's being mindful and continuing those good habits, continuing those basic principles that you've learned when losing weight, right? Making sure you're staying hydrated, manage your stress, manage your sleep, move your body. Now, no longer looking to lose weight, but in managing weight and feeling better, those are key principles in maintenance. See, aha moments, game changer, watch your verbiage moving forward. Thank you, Ruth.
And it's so true. Like Kim and I were just talking about this last week and we were, you know, going back and forth and I was saying that so many members in maintenance are saying, you know, I'm following the program. But in diving deeper and talking to our members, they're actually just following the principles of the program. We just had to put those words to it. So they're not necessarily following the programs and the tweaks and week to week as they did when they were losing weight. You know, they've gone beyond solidifying. They really are in this place of testing the waters and being back on track. And so what they're doing now is they're remembering the principles. I need to stay hydrated. Just like you said, Gina, stay hydrated, get sleep, manage my stress, you know, indulge once in a while, but then get back on track. That's following the principles. But I think we're saying the program and the plan where we really try to follow the guidelines and the principles of what we've learned.
Well, the intention of it too is different because when you're in weight loss, you're doing all those things because you want to lose weight. When you're in maintenance, you transition into, I'm doing this because I don't feel like crap if I do this. It makes me feel good. And, you know, that switching over that mindset from feeling like you have to do certain things when you're trying to lose weight because that's how you're going to lose your weight versus choosing to do it when you're in maintenance because you love the way that you feel.
It is all about how people feel. And that's the shift in conversation when you're talking in the focus groups. The people who are only been in maintenance for 6 months, they're still nervous. They're still finding their way. They're still weighing themselves every day. And many of them are probably still getting a little bit anxious when the scale reads higher than they'd like. The people who have been in maintenance for a year with it and are now sort of rocking along, but still following the principles of eating well, they don't weigh themselves anymore. They only weigh themselves once a week if they think of it or as a check-in every now and then. They judge everything on how they feel, everything. They don't eat. If they choose not to eat bread or pasta. It's because they brought it back in and they felt like crap. And they don't want to feel like crap anymore. They want to feel good. They've had this taste of, if I feed my body, I mean, I'll never forget a woman in a focus group in the weight loss program said to me, Gina's teaching North America how to eat, well. And they learned how to feed my body. And if they continue to do that to the best of their ability, there are things that you do speak to all the time. And perhaps if you were, you've talked about perhaps a maintenance program. Mm-hmm. The biggest thing is stress. The biggest, like we have to learn, because that impacts the sleep, it impacts that I forget to eat for 3 or 4 hours, I do this, I do that. It sort of gets you off focus. And so, you know, any sort of program or people that or strategies for dealing with stress, I think, would be something that people in maintenance really, really would benefit from.
Well, we just touched on this in the weight loss group. Really, this group with the sleep discussion that we had with Dr. Beverly and Alana and Dr. Alinka. And then I think the missing link to that is the stress part of it. So we touched on it a bit with Dr. Paul and then Dr. Alinka in terms of hormones. But really, I think we could do a whole week just on stress, whole week on sleep, whole week on stress, you know, really whole week on movement, whole week on, you know, all of that. And yeah, I think that's a big piece. But I think even, you know, as Ruth, you're doing a lot of research, like I don't also know everything. And this is where we never talked about stress. Stress didn't really factor in. I think now think back to when I had gained my weight. And I think really I was high stress, university, pulling all nighters, over exercising, right? I was barely eating anything. So, you know, and not sleeping. And so, you know, when I got out of university and even when I would look back and think about developing the Libby method, I wasn't factoring in stress and sleep. I just thought, oh, well, I'm eating more often and I'm exercising less and I'm losing all this weight. It actually wasn't until that sleep segment that we did and conversations I was having about stress where I was like,
Yeah.
Like, I think that not being stressed, not pulling all-nighters, you know what I mean? Actually eating food and, you know, being able to get sleep again probably played a big role into my ability of losing over 100 pounds. But no one talked about that then. And stress didn't really factor into the Libby method until the pandemic hit, until 2020. And then all of a sudden, we did not discuss stress. Stress was not, even the stress and sleep post was a one-pager that I created during that pandemic group. And then we've only really recently expanded on that conversation. Can I ask Ruth, like, what is the common denominator of people who are successful in maintenance versus people who have a hard time in maintenance? Are there like,
I think they've gone through a real mind shift. Like, they've really developed a new way of living with themselves, living with food. They look at food far differently than they used to. And they say, I look at food as something that I can curate to nourish my body. And they do not have this thing in their head of, I just want to lose this weight and go back to eating how I used to. They're quite comfortable saying, no, I have to eat differently. I have to interact with food differently, and that's okay. And they're not lamenting what they've had to give up because they know they can choose to eat whatever they like on occasion and because they feel like crap when they do. And so they prioritize feeling well. And I think part of it is that we never realized how badly we used to feel all the time.
Mm-hmm.
especially someone who's a long time cyclical dieter sort of guy, lose the weight, go back up, lose the weight, go back up. You know, that's been our identity. And so to feel good, to be actually able to live your life and participate is something that they value more highly than, I don't know, eating hamburgers and McDonald's whenever they want. And so they just decide, they reframe the way they live their life. They have, and they don't, the women that I spoke to and some gentlemen in the focus groups don't feel deprived. Like, it's not that they're controlling themselves in any way to do this. This is how they now live their life. They eat veggies. And, like, without a doubt, Gina, your approach to eating, your program, I don't like calling it a diet. I don't think it's a diet. Your approach to eating, your program, gets people eating more fiber than they've ever eaten. And that is a really, really, really good thing, because 95% of North Americans do not eat fiber. So it's that in and of itself makes members of your program so much healthier.
Well, sorry, Odette, just quickly, because I know I already cut you off. But we need to talk about fiber more in the program. Yeah. We don't talk about fiber enough.
I was just going to say, like, we have people eating fiber and they don't even know it. But as soon as you say you need to up your fiber, you need to take more fiber, what do they think of? They think of dry bran buds or whatever those like crunchy things are that are just like chalk dust in your mouth, right? That's what you think of when you think fiber. You don't think all of these veggies and fruits and all of
leafy greens.
Whole grains that they're putting in. That's fiber. As soon as you call it fiber, they're like, oh, no, I don't want that.
Now, I think like part of this, I always try to identify, and I don't think you can identify, what's the secret of the Gina Livy method to eating. And apart from it being real food, you can identify it. But one of the things you do is just following, that's why I'm quite sort of comfortable with telling you, Gina, I follow your program. I follow it in maintenance. That's what I do. I make sure I have protein for breakfast. I have spinach with practically every meal I have. And I know that fiber or that way of eating stops me eating any processed foods, ultra processed foods. And we never talk about those either. But that's critical in maintenance, to not go back to ultra processed foods.
Mm.
I think that's critical. It stops people doing that, and it gives us fiber. We eat fiber at every meal. And you don't discuss that in the weight loss program, because I think when you and I have chatted about it before, it's sort of too much.
I like to focus on what people can do and need to do, not what they're not doing. But, you know, I just wrote down again, you know, this conversation, like you said, about informing people about, okay, now that you can eat at night, why it's beneficial to not eat at night.
Yeah.
And now that you can have processed foods again, why it's beneficial to not have processed foods. And maybe, Odette, like, because my whole brain is just going, hello.
I know. I'm like, look at all these things I got written down here.
Because we are working on creating a maintenance program. So rather than doing another round of the weight loss program, they would go from the weight loss program into a maintenance program, which would be same, but different. Mm-hmm. And this is where we would have an opportunity and room and space to have those conversations. And be like, yeah, you know, once you've lost your weight, sure, you can have chips, you can do whatever, but it's still beneficial to not eat at night because of this, and this, and that. You know, it's, you know, and same thing with processed foods. Okay, yeah, is it a big deal if you have this or that processed foods? Not really, but here's why those foods are addicting. Here's why you want to minimize your, you know, eating those types of foods. So maybe that's that next level of education. And not that people don't already know that, but I think having it, understanding it with where they are at and everything they've done and wanting to move forward and easily maintain their weight, minimizing the eating at night helps you, easier maintain your weight, right? And not because, again, it's what you have, it's because the snowball effect that it can have. Next thing you know, you're not eating all day again, or, you know, whatever you're doing. So,
yeah. And it's also, I mean, one of the things that is very clear from the focus groups and maintenance, the focus groups and weight loss, people who embrace the Livy method learn a phenomenal amount. It's like, was it Sharon you talked to who had lost an awful lot of weight, 160 pounds?
163.
Yeah, she speaks about how much she learned every single program. And most people speak like that. They learn a lot if they're open to it. And so maybe it's when you're ready for the next learning, when you're ready, and maybe maintenance is that. You're comfortable, you've lost your weight, and perhaps helping to understand if there are challenges maintaining your weight. Well, let's look at how you've changed your behaviors since you lost the weight. Have you started sort of buying processed food for lunch every day? Because ultra-processed food, like a lot of food is processed, but ultra-processed food with all the fillers and the additives. Or have you sort of backed off eating veggies and leafy greens? Well, fiber is super, super important, and we've never called it that in the weight loss group, but that's part of the reason the weight loss group works, is the fiber.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Let me ask you this, Ruth, because I'm thinking about, like, it's one thing to lose because you're motivated and you have that goal, right? And then maintenance is like, okay, you want to maintain your weight. And does this come into a conversation of, are people wondering, and then what? Like, okay, you lost your weight, you're maintaining. Is there a then what that people are talking about? Are they a bit lost in what's the whole point and purpose moving forward?
Some of them are, but we had a really good conversation in a couple of the focus groups about the difference between having goals, because we all had a weight loss goal. Yeah. And it was, I don't think it's in James Clear's book, Atomic Habits, but it's in something else of his. Maybe it's an article of his or a podcast of it. He says once at certain stages or for certain behaviors you want to achieve or habits you want to achieve, it's not so much setting a goal as setting yourself up a new identity. So you're somebody who goes to the gym. You're somebody who eats really healthy. You're somebody who moves your body every day, not the goal of, so you actually think of yourself and your new identity. It is a podcast with him that I was listening to, and he speaks about the importance of seeing yourself as this new person, whoever this new person is. And it's not visualizing, it's that's who I am. I'm no longer a dieter. I'm somebody who loves working out every day, who loves hiking, who loves
and how do we
get myself?
And how do we get them to feel comfortable saying I'm not a dieter anymore. I am this new person. You know, I'm still me, but this is who I am now.
Yeah.
You can be those things before you even reach your weight loss goal. Like,
yeah,
I am somebody who goes to the gym can be something that you can say even before you get there.
Yeah. This conversation came up with Tanya when she was in the group, when she did her talk in the maintenance group from Yaya, mm-hmm. if anyone in the maintenance group listening right now remembers, where she is that concept of imposter syndrome. Who am I to fit into these pants now? Like, who am I if I'm not the person who's always on the latest diet? Or who am I if I'm no longer the fat friend? Or who am I if I'm no longer, you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot to this, is really owning your new identity. Like, you've made change. We talk about it all the time. You're changing physically, you're changing mentally, you really are changing. And it catches a lot of people off guard, where they're not even really accepting themselves. Like, they don't really realize what they've done until, oh my God, they see themselves in the mirror, or they hold up their new pair of jeans. And like, who the hell's pants are these? They can't be mine. I wonder if there's something more, again, when we're creating the maintenance program, that we can do to help people embrace, like, meet themselves where they're at, or really accept. Mm-hmm. Do you have any thoughts on that, Ruth?
Well, I know that, unfortunately, over these past few months, I've stepped back into a super stressful role. But prior to that, I was thinking a lot about what you've raised, actually. I mean, I've listened to so many of your sessions because I've been engaged with this for a while now, but, like, what do you do with all the space in your head when you're not worried about weight loss? Mm-hmm. What do you do with that space? What do you want to fill it with? And what do you give yourself permission to embrace? And, like, for some people, and I'm not suggesting everybody who struggled with their weight and had to lose 60, 70 pounds went through the same life experiences as me, but you did used to worry all the time about what you ate and that. So what are we going to use our headspace to do now? How are we going to ensure we sleep better? Or what strategies can we think through or learn to deal with stress and things like that? Like, I think some of the women my age, I know my partner would tell you this, or maybe it was just the way I was raised. Like, I took a lot of pride in the fact that I didn't have to sleep till 9 o'clock in the morning, that I'd get up at 5:30, 6 o'clock, and I was super virtuous. He tells me I was anyway. And that, you know, and he will very comfortably sleep a full 8 hours, 9 hours. Whereas I thought I was kind of, I don't know, clever or virtuous, because I'd get up at the crack of dawn. I love the early mornings, but it's giving yourself permission to learn that, well, sleep is actually really critical. That's not being lazy. I was raised in a family, we were told we were lazy if we weren't out of bed doing chores by 6 o'clock in the morning. So, like, understanding that those sorts of things. So instead of worrying about weight all the time now, perhaps give our attention to things that can give us a longer and richer and healthier life. How can we fill our head with those things? So I never realized how important sleep was. Never. Never. And I still struggle with that. But, you know, I think the people who are doing well with maintenance are finding ways to adhere to some of the basic principles of the program. They're welcoming them. They're embracing them. Mm-hmm. They're listening to their bodies. So when they feel bad, they think about why that might be. Is it sleep? Is it water? Is it food that I've eaten? Or stress? And they work towards getting back to feeling good. whether that means taking care of their stress, their sleep, or eating in a more nutritious way. I think that's the gift of the Livy method, that they've got that ability to recognize when it's going wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And part of that is recognizing when you're not eating enough, like because you unconsciously sort of think, oh, I pigged out yesterday, maybe I can back off today. So you do fall back into the women, people are telling me you do fall back into that.
It's, yeah, it's like it's appealing, right? Like, oh, especially because I've lost the weight, so I'm good now. So then I can go back to doing those little quick fixes where I overeat and then I'm just going to starve myself for a day or two and then I'll get back on it, but not really realizing that that was part of why you gained so much weight in the first place. And yeah. You spent so much time getting your body to trust that you're going to continue to give it what it needs. And that overeating and then undereating combination, oh man, it's such a bad combination for what you are, the message you are sending to your body. You are overeating. Why are you overeating? You must be trying to gain weight. And then why are you undereating? Oh, that must have been why you overate last night, because now there's not enough today. And that just both of those signal weight gain. And so falling back into those, that old pattern of starving, depriving, punishing, over-exercising, under-eating, that, like, I don't think people really realize. And maybe, again, that's part of our education in maintenance and knowing people are doing that, really try to educate them into understanding why that's so detrimental and help them understand that that's probably factored into why you needed to lose this weight in the first place.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So
wow.
There is a lot that's coming through. I mean, there's clear evidence that the longer you take to lose the weight. So I know people want to lose their weight quickly.
Yeah.
But the longer you take to lose the weight, the more odds there are of you keeping it off. So the pound a week is a really average, steady way of losing weight. And you've had guests that have said, well, I lost 25 pounds round one, but then I only lost 8 pounds in round two. So your body will adjust. So it's important not to get too freaked out if it's going slowly, because it's your body likes it to go slowly.
Yeah. I mean, that 1 to 2 pounds is ideal. If you lose more than that, great. But also expect, I was talking about this morning on the live, equal and opposite reaction.
Yeah.
If you lose a big chunk quite quickly, expect a longer plateau. At some point, your body has to adjust. And I think this is where also, Ruth, where you say that people who have a larger amount of lose to weight can be more successful or have an easier time in maintenance. I think it's twofold. One, they've spent time helping the body solidify the weight that they've lost. And then mentally, each time they do another round of the program, they're continuing to work through their issues and associations and habits and coping mechanisms and beliefs. So it's almost like if you lose a lot of weight real quickly, and maybe you do a one and done and you lose all your weight in one program, that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be easier for you to maintain your weight because you lost less, because you had less weight to lose. There might be actually more work for you to do in maintenance. The work might be in maintenance that you need to do. You took 3 months to lose your weight. You might need to take 6 or 9 months in order to be able to sustain and maintain your weight and actively put time into that to solidify that. Well, that's really
without
interesting.
Without a doubt. I think it takes time, and it takes time for your body to adjust, and it takes time for you to adjust your patterns and behaviors and make new patterns and behaviors the norm, like Dr. Beverly and others are more knowledgeable about that. But so that's the way you now live your life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, listening to your body and being connected to your body is extremely difficult for people who have been on roller coasters of weight loss, because they've spent an awful lot of time squashing down, like, whether they feel hungry, whether they should eat or anything. They've been actively working against their body for so long. So to learn that the four questions of that with the focus groups that I used to do in the weight loss group, I used to ask about the four questions, and people typically would not master those until their third session. Yeah. You know, it takes time for that. It takes a lot of time to be able to do that automatically. So, and that carries you through maintenance, but that carries you through because that's connecting your stomach, your mind, and your body.
Well, there's a comment here. I think maintenance should not be for people who still want to lose weight and focus more on maintenance. Well, you know, that's kind of like complicated because people can think that they've reached their goal and then change their mind later on and they want to go back for more. I don't think we should follow the tweaks unless we need to. And I totally, this is where I totally disagree. Mm-hmm. This is where redoing another round for the sake of maintenance is so beneficial because it helps you to get even more in tune to your portions. It helps you to deal with your issues about food waste or food scarcity even more. It helps you to solidify those new habits even more. Those tweaks were designed not just to help you focus on weight loss, but to bring up a lot of the feels and the stuff that you need to work through. And that's why we're going to structure the maintenance program to have the exact same tweaks. It's just that the focus is going to be different. Mm-hmm. So you're no longer chasing a weight loss goal. You are working to solidify the weight that you have lost, but continue to level up, continue to learn, continue to work through everything that you need to work through in order to maintain your weight.
And I think this also becomes an issue of, not an issue, but a point of capacity. Sometimes when we've lost our weight and now we're still trying to solidify that mind-body connection. We're still trying to solidify these new habits. Having a program to follow with its tweaks, it's almost this comfortable place to be because you almost know what to expect, right? So that's just that little bit of capacity of like, what am I doing today or what am I doing next week? We're going to help you figure that part out so you can really spend the time working on that mind-body connection, working on solidifying those habits so you can put the capacity there if that's where it needs to be.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Ruth. Odette and I have a lot of work we got to do.
Oh, no, it's good.
I'm going to compile all my notes. Yeah.
I would like to send the next survey out to all the members we've had. Tony and I did discuss that once, but we sort of went with what we had. We didn't go follow that idea through. So that's a really interesting way to perhaps capture the experiences of people who did your program 2-3 years ago, 4 years ago. Because most of the people I spoke to, there were some that had been in maintenance for 2 years or more, but most of them were in the last year that they've come into maintenance, that they self-identified. And some of them were sort of still straddling both. There was some that, oh, I really shouldn't be in this focus group, should I? And I said, that's okay. You can hang out here and listen to the people who are sort of down the track ahead of you.
Well, I really think that what we are learning from you and the way we want to restructure an actual maintenance program where that people will do when it comes to solidifying their weight. Of course, then they'll phase into that third stage of maintenance and testing the waters before they move on to that just kind of mindfully living, using all the guidelines and that you've learned. I think that will really help people. And I wish that we would have had that before, but we didn't. And, you know, but all the feedback that we get from our members on a day-to-day basis are helping to really create a maintenance program that I think will be a game changer when it comes to helping people actively solidify their weight.
Like, to be fair, everybody says, like, no other program or diet, whatever you call it, has this space, this maintenance space where people can gather, they can reach out for support, they can ask questions, is this happening for you? Is this happening to you? Like, we all know that most programs or diets, you do them and you go, or you come back and you repeat them and you leave, but there's no aftercare. And people see this as aftercare.
Aftercare, They don't want you to. They want you to come back and sign up again. And we don't want that. We truly want to prove that the living method is a sustainable, maintainable way to lose weight. And that's, I mean, that is our mission. because I really think that's what sets us apart from other diets. Yeah, we don't count, weigh, and measure. Yes, it's a guided program, but really we are out to show that you can lose your weight in a healthy way and be able to maintain it and move on with your life.
And that's what the research community, the health community is challenging us to do. Like they said, come back. So next year in the obesity summit, we'll have the data and say, we came back and this is the evidence. So
I'll buy those plane tickets right now, Ruth.
For all of us.
Kim's already in BC, so or wherever they have it. I think they have it every other year, don't they? The Canadian
every 2 years, and with your luck, it'll be in Toronto. Sorry.
Just for the sake of time, I do know that we have to go. Ruth, you know I adore you. I think it was so great to bring Odette and Kim. They don't have the luxury of hanging out with you like I do and hearing this from you. And I think it's so great. And I know our members have been, they're thanking us for one of our members. They're like, I'm in, I'll pay my own way. Yeah, we'll let you know. We'll let you know where it is. But, you know, this is why, again, I love you, your passion for the program, you know, for the mission of really truly helping people and your honesty too. Like Ruth lets me know when, you know, what's going on and where people are at. And I really appreciate that because we really want to know how we can better help and support our members.
Yeah.
You know, we're doing our best over here. We're far from perfect. There's a lot more that we can do. And I think we're well on our way to doing that. So
that's good.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to talk to people. We'll see you next time.
All right, Odette, you got a final word there?
Yeah, I mean, this has just been, like you said, I don't have the privilege of sitting with Ruth and listening to her. And, you know, we really try and listen to our members and listen and see what's going on in the group. And I think what Dr. Ruth is able to offer really takes it to the next level. You know, we can see bits and pieces of what our members are saying, but you know, Dr. Ruth, you can come here today and you can really give it to us in bulk and really help us see what we need to do to help support these members. We've always said, you know, we have a special place here, but we want to make sure that, you know, we want to keep this place special, of course, but we also want to make sure our members feel that every step of the way and feel like they're supported, that they can do this and they can see themselves as that person. I think that's what we're going to take from these conversations. Yeah. And I also want to say, I hope you all get your 30 squats in today. So
I'm off to do that right now.
Okay.
Amazing. Odette, Kim, Ruth, thanks, ladies. Thanks for everyone joining us. Until next time, everyone, have a great night. Thanks.
Good night.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.